May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Last Sunday, we began a series of Sundays where in this season following Christmas, we will be reflecting both intellectually and spiritually on both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ, and how at the deepest levels, Jesus can affect your humanity. In essence, become the center of your life. We began last week with the foundational scripture verse of Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And we asked, so is our treasure in Jesus Christ? Is our heart in Jesus? And I said that each of us brings to this conversation our personal story from our family of origin, the culture and society in which we were raised, and the faith or no faith in which we were raised. So when we hear the gospel story and we read from the gospel, the primary and most authoritative way that we know Jesus, we understand it through the lens of our own personal stories and experiences. You just can't help it. And finally, last Sunday, we spoke of approaching the Gospels as first the written record of a developing tradition over a period of years, and second, as a combination of exact historical record and history metaphorized. Another way that I believe that we can say this is that we come to know Jesus by both history and faith. What was going on historically in the time of Jesus? This is a big question that I'm going to just give a very brief but important response so that we can look at today's story and move forward. The Jewish people were in significant trouble. They, God's chosen people, were living under the pagan and oppressive rule of the Romans. The Romans called it the Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome. And it was the main objective of Rome to be in control of everything, from government to economy, and for there to be peace, for there to be no trouble. And there was as well at the same time this pervasive belief among the Jews that God would send a powerful Messiah to overthrow the political and military leadership of Rome. And it is in this setting that Jesus emerges, comes down from the countryside to be baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. John, who himself had a great following at this time, but always pointed to the Christ. John the Baptist says to Jesus, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? And Jesus answers him, let it be so now. And we hear that Jesus was baptized, and just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove. And a voice from heaven proclaims, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Now, any of you who are historians or trained in historical study or have studied history, which we all have, we know that the discipline of history is about evidence. So that when we talk about the historical Jesus, we are talking about such things as, what do we know factually about him as a person? Where did he fit into the world and culture of his day? Why did a movement claiming allegiance to him powerfully spring up after his death? What is the data for these questions, among others? And what we know about the story of Jesus' baptism, historically from the evidence, is that it happened. That it happened in that way. Jesus' baptism marked the beginning of his earthly ministry. He was roughly 30 years of age. And after that baptism, he began. He called his disciples. He began to teach. He began to heal. He began to proclaim the kingdom of God. And people began coming to know him in great numbers. To know Jesus more deeply. That is most probably the reason that most of us today are worshiping at St. John's, why we are about to have baptism at St. John's. So what do we mean when we say this? What does it mean to know someone? First, knowing about and actually knowing are two different things. Yesterday afternoon, I watched, as I suspect a number of you did, the UK basketball team beat Vanderbilt. In my 2.5 years here, I've become a UK fan. Now, I could never play basketball as a young man. I still can't. But I know about basketball. I know about basketball. I know how it is played. I know most of the rules of the game. Yet, knowing basketball is different. Knowing basketball is to know what it is to run up and down the court at a fast and sweaty pace. Knowing basketball is feeling the shot, the planting of your feet, and taking a body block. It's hearing Coach Calipari scream at you from the sideline, or weirdly from that stadium yesterday from the end zones. It's experiencing the breathing and the exhaustion. So when we say we know a person, we are implying a relationship with that person. And that is very different from saying we know of a person. Many of you know, and many of you are, Facebook friends with me, and you know that I'm a fan of Facebook. I post, I put likes, I like to receive likes. I like to see the pictures of your family, your trips, your events, your status, so to speak. And yet, Facebook gives the 21st century illusion that we know hundreds and hundreds of people. Now, hear that again, that we know hundreds and hundreds of people. My daughter, Gabrielle, has close to 2,000 Facebook friends. And for someone her age, that's not unusual. When in reality, though, to be a Facebook friend often means that we simply know of that person from some context. We've been together. We've met. To really know a person assumes mutual understanding, knowledge of, and face-to-face encounters. Therefore, if you want to know Jesus, you can't just be his Facebook friend. You have to have a personal relationship. And here is faith. And that can be the difficult challenge as we attempt to define exactly what that means. Because faith at times can be very difficult to define. And yet today we catch glimpses through Jesus' baptism. And in just a moment, in the baptism of Joshua and Oliver, father and son. This is the first baptism at St. John's where I have actually done the marriage of the couple 2 Augusts ago, and now we'll be baptizing their infant and dad as well. Baptism is the beginning of our coming to know Jesus in a personal way. But it is just the first step. Baptism bestows on each of us the forgiveness of sin, the promise of eternal life, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. But that is just the beginning. And then you are challenged, not alone, but with the power of the Holy Spirit, the power that the two being baptized today shall receive, and the support of this community of faith to live into your knowing Christ. And that call is different for each of you, but with the foundational promises you made to continue in the apostles' teaching, prayers, the breaking of the bread, resisting evil, and when you fall into sin, and you will, and I will, we repent and turn to Christ. We live the good news, the gospel. We serve Jesus in every human being, not just the ones we like or choose. And we strive for justice and peace, and we respect the dignity of every human being, regardless of gender, race, religion, sexual orientation, political affiliation, or social status. That's the challenge that Jesus brought to each of us when he stepped into that water in the river. That's the challenge of Jesus' baptism in life. And that's your challenge, and my challenge as well. Let us celebrate the challenge. Amen.